Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, everybody. You know who it is. Coach Mike Jones on the coach with the most. Coming at you hard from coast to coast. I don't want to boast, but now I got to roast you in my social media posts. You double dose, undiagnosed. You feeling tired, life expired, now you're a ghost. I'll be your host, so won't you raise a toast to the coach with the most, Coach Mike Jones.
Welcome to the Coach Mike Jones Show podcast, episode 71. I'm here with my co-host for the day, the guy who's so fly, Mr. Sign Guy. How you doing?
Doing all right on this Hanukkah morning, Coach.
Yes, thank you. And then why don't you introduce our guest today, please?
Our guests are from the Seattle Sports Union. We have Abe and the Soul Man with us.
How you guys doing?
Awesome.
Hey,
always a pleasure.
Greg.
How are you
nice,
guys?
Man. Been a while seeing you at the AEW there in Seattle. Thank you guys for inviting me down. It was nice to spend the day with you, get you in the NGW green room, and, man, looking forward to what the future brings.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
Absolutely.
And by the way, Coach, your introduction music reminds me of, like, 80s hip-hop, like, kind of that In Living Color TV show intro. Love it. Fantastic.
Good call. I agree.
Thank you. That's Joe Love and the Never Were. Man, I really appreciate him making that song for me. He actually sponsored it for me. He's a really great guy. So check out the Never Were. They're all over. All right. Hey, Sign, you got a first question for these guys?
First question. I'll start with Abe on this, but it's for both of you. The pro wrestling scene in Seattle has exploded in the last few years. It went from being sort of a bleak scene with very little happening unless you went out of Seattle proper into some of the suburbs to now there is Defy Wrestling, which has appeared on national television. With AEW and Impact, you have all Lucha Libre shows drawing very, very well within Seattle. You have the promotions in the outlying areas like SOS, Combat Pro, Northwest Pro, all doing very well. What do you think of the increased viability and popularity of independent pro wrestling within Seattle?
Well, I mean, Seattle's a counterculture kind of place, and everything in society becomes uncool, Seattle decides to grab onto it and make it cool. So, for example, when I was growing up, pro wrestling was kind of looked down upon. And by the way, just in general, whenever you find another fan of pro wrestling, they're instant family. That's sidebar, but anyway, what you find though is you find that kind of familial relationship in these smaller independent promotions. I saw SOS at Hales Palladium, which used to be the brewery, and you go into these places, you never met any of these people before. Local Seattleites, but maybe they have like different interests in their lives, and your paths have never crossed. But you know, you end up making friends with people who you may never been so before, just because of wrestling, just because there is that something in watching these kids, you know, go out there and bear it all, lay it all on the line, and it's a unique form of entertainment. And when you get down to this level, you know, at the community level with Defy and what used to be 3-2-1 Battle, I used to go to that a bunch. It's like going to like what Solak and I do, the Soul Man and I do, and going to Everett Aquasucks. You just kind of your family rather than just some large, you know, corporate going to some large corporate event. While WWE is fun. These small event shows is where you make relationships and connections.
All right, Soul Man, what about you? What do you think it is with independent wrestling becoming hot again in the Seattle area?
To piggyback, I guess, on what Abraham said, I think, I mean, like you said, Seattle just turns everything, you know, these small unknown sports into something huge. And I want to say, well, I grew up watching wrestling, of course, and up until the 2000s, I loved it, and then I lost interest. And then over the next 15, 20 years, I occasionally watched, like, WrestleMania or something like that. But in 2020, during the pandemic, Abraham introduced me to AEW, and that just lit a fire under me. I got excited to get to watch these guys. I learned about these wrestlers I'd never heard of. And then Abraham and one of his friends introduced me to, you know, local independent wrestling. And everybody I talk to is just in love. I mean, I'm in the towing business. Everybody I talk to just loves wrestling. I would say it's like a, you know, the Monday morning quarter, we'll sit at the water cooler and chat more about wrestling than anything else. And it's just fun to watch. And I think the pandemic had a big part of it too, of it becoming more popular. My goal in 2024, I've never been to a local show, but hopefully I get to go to one It's fun to watch these kids. Like Abe said, we go to Aquasock. These kids, those minor leaguers have passion, and just watching these guys in the independent scene, they just love the sport. And Coach Mike Jones too. You've gotten me more excited into this as well too. I mean, your passion alone and watching your videos and
that's
pretty much
that.
Thank you,
okay,
guys.
Yeah.
Really.
Okay, and then I'm going to ask each one of you guys, like, what you got coming up and then what your specialty is for Seattle Sports Union, because you guys have a lot of people that's involved with that. Tell us a little bit about Seattle Sports Union, what each one of you guys got coming up, and your specialty for your media company.
Let me address the specialities, because Soul Man gets all of our guests, so I'm gonna let him get the praise and the adulation over that. But our specialty at Seattle Sports Union is the local Seattle sports. You know, your typical Sounders. Right now, we have a weekly on Seahawks that we do with Nathan Savage. That is his real name, by the way. That's not a cool nickname. That's his actual name. And the SoCal Seahawk and myself, we do a weekly on that. And then during baseball season, it tends to be more myself, the Soul Man, and Matt Page, and that focus is a little bit more universal as far as baseball, so it talks about the major leagues. But we really, really dive a lot into the Everett Aquasucks. Big shout out to Soul Man; he leads the charge, you know, as keeping us on the straight and narrow there. In the past, we've focused on teams like the Storm and the and Seattle University, and then COVID kind of happened. So we kind of strayed away from that a little bit. Hopefully we get back into more sports like that. And then, Soul Man, I'll turn it over to you tell the guys what we got coming up.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Abe, for those props. On YouTube, shortly here, we're going to be posting our recent interview with the Graz. He's a regular on our show. He was on for our 200th episode just a few weeks ago. Amazing guy. I know you guys are aware who he is. We had Stacy Joe Ross from 710 Channel Sports. We'll be posting her video here. A few guests coming up here in the new year. We got Keith Law, the baseball expert, pretty much for prospects. He works for The Athletic. He's been on a couple times. He'll be returning to tell us about his top 100 prospects in MLB. We got last night I talked to a gentleman named Philip Bobo. He played for Wazoo back in the early 90s. He's famous for the catch in the Snow Bowl for the Apple Cup. We've got Jason Churchill as well, another local guy who's got a great podcast. He's more a prospect guy. He'll be on in the new year as well. So we're looking forward to the new year. And, of course, we got to get the sign guy on. I know we've talked about it, but Jason, we need to schedule a show, a wrestling show with you in the new year as well.
Absolutely. Please. I would love
And in the past, we've had, Soul Man's been able to get us Joff Baker from the Seattle Times, Joe Doyle, Eric Battle, former Husky lineman. So we got lots of great stuff. Check us out on YouTube at Seattle Sports Union. We're the only Seattle Sports Union. We aren't hard to find.
And don't forget, Coach Mike Jones has been a regular on our show as well.
Yes, I've always enjoyed it.
Back at you.
Oh, guys, one of the things I have for you is a bit of a hypothetical. In generations past, when things were different, a lot of athletes from other sports would gravitate towards pro wrestling. For example, Wahoo McDaniel was a very famous NFL player. Lex Luger came from basketball and from football. Kevin Nash was a professional basketball player in Europe. They gravitated towards professional wrestling. It's not quite as common anymore, but you still have guys like a Pat McAfee or a Logan Paul that come from other sports and get into professional wrestling. Who, in your estimation, if a local Seattle-based athlete were to make that jump to professional wrestling, who do you think would have the most success at it?
Ooh, that's a great question. Off the top of my head, actually, he's not too old yet. Hall of Famer offensive tackle Walter Jones from the Seattle Seahawks. He's still in great shape. I could see him making the transformation over into wrestling, and he'd be quite entertaining on the mic, and I think he would have some good moves. Obviously be part of the heavyweight division, but Walter Jones would be my top choice.
You got to let him know that.
Okay, I'm making a note of that right now. I promise
you,
I'll follow through.
By the way, great list there, sign guy. I was thinking also of Bill Goldberg, Big Van Vader, and Dennis Rodman too, right? those were some great ones.
Yeah, there's a longer list of guys that made the jump. I just given a few examples off there.
Well, I think you know who should have, and what he currently is. So right now in AEW and Defy, Swerve Strickland is basically Richard Sherman, isn't he?
Okay.
I mean, Richard Sherman should have been a pro wrestler. another one from that same group would have been Cam Chancellor. Those would be my selections.
And I'll also throw out there that Swerve Strickland, a local guy born in Tacoma.
That's right.
Yeah, and don't forget Shaq wrestled not too long ago.
That's right.
Do you call that wrestling?
I mean, he was in the main of Dynamite.
Rough.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, now,
my next. You know what? Hang on. I've got to respond to that. I got to respond to that because also Lawrence Taylor may have had WrestleMania.
Okay, yeah.
That doesn't mean anything.
I always enjoyed all those, though. Regardless,
Thank God for Bam Bam Bigelow in that event because that was that might have been the worst WrestleMania of all time.
Okay. Now, this next subject is sort of like an elephant in the room. And then even on that, there's like two elephants in the room. But the first one is the Seahawks. Oh, my goodness.
Uh-huh.
And I can tell you guys right now, man, let me give a little backstory. Man, growing up, man, I started coaching my brother's team at 13 years old. You know, we love sports so much. So Seahawks and Mariners from the get-go. We couldn't wait till they become 500, and then it meant the world that they become 500 for the first time, you know, and then they make the playoffs and stuff like that. And man, we would have it where growing up, as I got even older, I was like, man, my whole weekend would be ruined if they would lose. I meant that much to me, you know. And then growing up as a coach, too, man, I've been called over-competitive, that kind of stuff, where I've tried every method of coaching, like for, community teams here, you know, where try competitive for fun, both. Take turns, you name it. There's no way you can make your whole team happy. And where even one year I was like, okay, guys, how do you guys want to do it? For fun or for competitive? Okay, they said for fun. Well, I still get accused of coaching as a professional. It's just me. I'm over competitive. But the thing is, now as I get older, it doesn't mean that much to me where it hasn't ruined my weekend for a long time because I know sports isn't that important, you know. But now it seems like it's sort of getting back to that. The way the Seahawks are, we don't have a quarterback of the future. They don't know who's starting tomorrow against San Francisco. We're still 6-6. That's nice, but it's not looking good. And then if you go to the Mariners, that's even looking worse. But anyway, the subject here is the Seahawks.
All right. I don't know if this was the elephant in the room or the elephant man on a date. You know,
yeah.
Let
us know your opinion.
Seahawks.
Where do you want to start?
Yeah,
Seahawks.
Seahawks, go for it.
I'm really disappointed, like you said. It when they lose now, it does ruin my week. I mean, I expect so much of them. I thought we were going to have a great year. We talked about it back over the summer, the three of us. But realistically, they're going to lose tomorrow. Next Monday night, they play the Eagles. They're going to lose that, and they got three games remaining, and God knows what's going to happen. I mean, these two quarterbacks we have on the roster are – average, and we got so much talent around this team, but these guys can't get the ball to these wide receivers, and I'm disappointed.
Yes.
And I know I'm going to waste my time watching a blowout tomorrow and be all upset, and my wife's going to have to calm me down, and then I'll get excited for the Eagles on Monday night, and the same crap's going to happen. Pardon my language, but they're frustrating, and I don't see any positivity moving forward.
Let me jump off that for the Seahawks. There was huge problem here with the defensive line, and it's not getting addressed as far as that's where the problem has been, and that's where the problem remains. So your pickups are Draymond Jones, you pick up a Frank Clark, Leonard Williams. These are all average. I mean, to use your term, for the quarterbacks, these are average defensive linemen. They get no pressure. We're getting killed in the flat because none of the defensive ends can break up the bubble screen or the running back out of the backfield. Jordan Brooks being out is a disaster because he's the only player that the linebacker that's panned out. Bobby Wagner is getting older, and so he just doesn't have the wheels. I would take him out in pass situations, but there seems to be some loyalty there. And so this front seven's an utter disaster. Take away the quarterback. If that were fixed, this would be a much better team. And Geno Smith could be the game general rather than be a guy who thinks he has to win. That's where Geno gets in trouble. He thinks he has to win the game on every play, and he simply doesn't. You have to trust the rest of the team is going to do their job, but the rest of the team is not doing their job. And thank God for the Huskies, because otherwise this would be a complete waste of a fall for me.
And then here, we'll hold off on the Mariners for a few, because we're going to stick to the Seahawks. And then like their offensive line's been like suspect ever since they got rid of Steve Hutchinson, probably. What's that been, 20-some mm-hmm. years? Goodness. Oh, man. All right,
yeah,
Simon,
there's personnel problems on the offensive line. But at least at least on the offensive line, at least you can see that everybody acts like Geno has zero time. There's plenty of times that he has lots of time in the pocket. I mean, it's a matter of you have to change your offense around. If you feel like you're going up against some defense like the 49ers, you have to resort to more draw plays, more slants, throw to the vacated zone when that linebacker blitzes, and they just refuse to do it and refuse to give Geno the help of simple play calls that would help out on these situations. But so I can't say it's all the offensive line, but I can definitely say it's all the defensive line. I mean,
yeah,
they got one job, get the QB, and they don't do it.
And then there's another thing that's really frustrating.
Oh, sorry, I was going to say I don't care about the sack. I was going to say I don't care about the sack numbers either, because we had 10 sacks against the Giants, so that's irrelevant. Those are skewed stats.
And then, it's frustrating, man. I'll be sitting there watching the worst team possible with the worst quarterback out there, and he's able to hike the ball, get back, do his throw, roll out, whatever he needs to do. And guys are actually open. Oh, it's just frustrating watching this team. But, hey, Simon, before you give your next question, what do you think about the Seahawks deal?
I guess they're 6-6, so about average.
Okay, what do you got
to say?
They
are what their record says they are.
Yeah.
All right, now, guys, on my previous question, looking at the landscape of things, and I know you guys aren't necessarily the most knowledgeable of the local independent scene, but if you could take a Pacific Northwest wrestler and put him into one of the other team sports that are around, who do you think would make the best transition into that?
Can I use Darby Allin as an example?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I see Darby Allin. I think he could come right in. He could be a slot wide receiver on the Seahawks and go out there, and I think he'd be pretty darn successful, in my opinion. The man is tough. He's knowledgeable. He plays hard on every play. And granted, he'd probably be on the injury report every week just because he beats up his body so much. But that would be my choice.
Now, I would say, wouldn't you want Roderick Toombs, Rowdy Roddy Piper himself, to be a goon in the NHL? Wouldn't he be the perfect guy to, when a fight needs to break out, that's the guy you get in off the off the third shift and get in there and start mixing it
up. Have been interesting.
Yeah.
Hey, and you guys have got a little backstory on Darby. Sign Guy, for all the fans out there who don't know, Sign Guy's one of the top referees in the Northwest, if not all over the place in the independent scene. And he's also host of Turnbuckle Turmoil that's been going on for like 13 years now with over 1,900 shows, and I'm proud to say that I've been a co-host for going on 3 years at Turnbuckle Turmoil. We'll be on tomorrow at 1 p.m. Pacific, and Sign is also on for the Sign Guy the Sign Guys show at Fridays at 3. But anyway, Sign, tell me your story about Darby.
I got a few stories of Darby, but I can tell you I was the official for his very first ever professional wrestling match.
No, wow.
Yeah. In fact, when I saw Darby at a WrestleCon in New York a few years ago, I went to go say hello. He jumped out of his chair and louder than I'd ever heard Darby speak before, pointed at me and said, "That's the man that officiated my very first pro match in Portland, Oregon for Blue Collar Wrestling." And I had to think for a second. I said, "Well, I guess I was, yeah."
that is so cool.
Sign guy, was that at Evolve Wrestling?
What was that?
Was that at Evolve Wrestling? I forget where he started. I forgot which promotion Darby started in. That's okay. It was probably a while ago.
Sign.
How
are you there?
Sign guy?
Looks like he's still in the studio here. But yeah. Maybe he took
an elbow off the top row.
he said it was a little chaotic there this morning. Oh, my goodness.
Yep, sorry
anyway.
About that. My phone was a little in and out.
Okay. Yeah, he just asked you a question. Did you hear the question?
I did not. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was asking which promotion it was at. Was it Evolve?
It was Blue Collar Wrestling in Portland.
Oh, okay, cool. Haven't heard of that one before.
Yeah, it was Blue Collar, and his first opponent was J.J. Williams, who was also a Buddy Wayne trainee.
Oh, nice.
And then, hey, since we're on the subject of Sign Guys reffing people's first matches, he has a list of some popular wrestlers he had their first match that he reffed with. And tell us some more people. Are you there, Sign?
He's
in the bad area, it looks
like.
I know. Sign! Okay, he thinks his phone and internet is cutting out, he said. I got a text from him.
Okay.
But, yeah, he's got a list of about half a dozen
there
really
I heard you, Coach.
Records.
Sorry about that. Yeah, my phone and internet is a bit spotty because they're doing work in the area.
So I'm still pumping you up. What's the list of other people that you debuted their refereeing?
Oh, people I had their first match? There's a lot. Rebel Kell, Darby, there's so many, a lot of guys that are just local guys, but probably Rebel Kell, very well known in this area. Darby, of course, a national guy. I may have had Sonico's first match. I'm not entirely sure, but we'll put Sonico. Jaden, who has been on AEW television and is a big name locally, I had his first match. There's a lot of people out there.
Did you ever work with Aubrey Edwards?
Many times, yes.
Okay.
They're good friends, right?
Oh, cool. Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I speak to her on a regular basis.
Sorry for diverting here. Did you get any insight as to, like, when she was reffing, she gave up her job at Nintendo. She apparently had like a big-time job at Nintendo. What was it like with her? And then even you can talk about yourself as well. What draws you to pro wrestling over, you know, the standard 9-to-5, you know, blue-collar or white-collar office job?
Like what caused her to leave it?
Or you, or even you. I mean, like what in our nature is, you know, wrestling fans? What's the draw? You asked us what our draw was to it. I'm asking it for you as well.
It usually comes down to a passion for it. It's like any other job. If you're passionate on that job and that's what you want to do as a living, then you're going to gravitate towards that. In Aubrey Edwards' case, she left the job at Nintendo, and then AEW opened up right in that same very time frame. So it was a really easy decision for her. He went from one seamlessly into the other one and has been successful ever since.
And
I mean,
excuse me. No, I interrupted.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, that's kind of interesting, you know, with you, Sangai, and you, Coach, as well. A lot of people get stuck in the quiet desperation of, like, their, you know, their job at the factory or their job, you know, in the corporate business, and don't take the road that they wanted to go down. And I'm so happy for you guys having, decided, you know what, we're going to chase what we're really passionate about. So that's awesome.
Yeah, and then
it comes down a lot of times if someone's able to make a full-time living doing pro wrestling, they will do it. But especially at the independent level, there's just not a full-time enough schedule where guys can make enough to live on doing professional wrestling. Independent shows run anywhere from once a week to once a month to sometimes quarterly, so there's just not enough repetition as far as bookings in order to make it. But that usually, if you can get a full-time job where it's going to pay you a full-time living, I'd say 75% of the time the wrestler will take that.
Hey, and Sign, sticking with Aubrey as a subject, she debuted here in the Northwest, right? And then she still has a...
Yes, she did. She was brought up in 3-2-1 battle.
And then she still has lots of ties in Northwest Wrestling with SOS, right?
I don't know if she is reffing there or not per se, but... yeah, she does still live in the area and will pop up from time to time on a local show.
Okay, now back to the question. Soul Man, what is your outlook on the Mariners?
Oh, my gosh, we could talk for hours, but I'm trying to be positive. As we all know, that they've been making all these trades, cutting their payroll. Jerry DePoto and his... 54% comment.
Goodness.
All that baloney. And I have a feeling, I haven't expressed this to Abraham yet, but I have a feeling that we're going to get a key quality free agent here. They're keeping it secret, and I think something's going to happen here. But I still don't see the playoffs for another couple more years just because of these moves that they're making. And I am more positive because we watch these kids play with the Aqua Sox, and we've seen several come up to the major leagues and already make an impact. And the Mariners are doing a good job with their farm system. So there's hope, but playoffs is going to be maybe 2 or 3 more years.
Now, sticking with the Aqua Sox and with you, their Soul Man, I see that you got on your homepage there, Save Our Aqua Sox. What's up with that?
Great question. When Major League Baseball took over a few years ago, the minor league system, they cut a lot of teams. Everett got promoted to high A from low A ball, but they told all these teams that they need to upgrade their facilities, or they're going to shut them down. And they put it off for a long time. In my opinion, I'm not trying to talk bad about them. The school district owns the stadium, and I haven't seen the Aqua Sox put any money into getting it upgraded. They have California ownership. Recently they had a meeting with the council, Everett City Council, about what they're going to do. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to make that. Matthew Page, we'll have to get him his feedback on that in a future podcast. But they might be out of here. There's a possibility after next year they may either fold or they might be moved to California or somewhere down south. And in my opinion, things aren't looking good.
My goodness, you know what? I can see what's going on here. The same thing that the Sonics did. Ironically,
yep.
They did the same thing. They got rid of everybody. They were down. They made themselves down so shitty as an expansion team, and then nobody was going. And then they made the fans not care. And next thing you know, they're like, "Okay, we're out of here." Then, well, and then you hear people saying, screaming, "Sell the team! Don't sell the team!" Okay.
No.
And then you know what? I only want you to sell the team when somebody from here steps up and says, "I want to buy the team," not just it's for sale. Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
So, Abe, what's your outlook?
There's something I got to throw in about the Aqua Sox, though. The stadium that they play on is sufficient for high school, you know, high school level. But it is insufficient for major leaguers coming up, you know, through the minor system. However, the guys in the ivory tower at wherever Mariners headquarters is, the guys like Larson, the guys like Stanton, and those 17 other owners, the guys who are the most profitable baseball team in you know, in the MLB, they can't shove a couple, you know, dollars towards the Aqua Sox way to help them, you know, make a nicer stadium is ridiculous. It's
yeah,
greedy. It's gross.
They got their logos all over the place. You know, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, they're advertising. They're the Mariners farm system. Yeah, what the hell?
They can't shove $1 million that way. Just to help out. I mean, it's same thing happening to a team down in Hillsboro called the Hillsboro Hops. Their parent company, their parent company all these minor league teams are not owned by the major league teams. Some of them are, but most of them aren't. And what happens is, like Solak was saying, the Soul Man was mentioning that some California holding company has this as an asset. So in addition to the Mariners' ownership sucking, it's also this holding company that's looking at it, you know, from the perspective of an investment property that they can flip and, you know, sell at a later point in time. And it's gross. All this kind of stuff is gross. And it's why we might lose the Aqua Sox, and it's why the Mariners are in the disaster they are. Bunch of accountants.
It's another reason. Yeah.
Another reason,
yeah. That 54% statement was right there next to the Mathers debacle. I mean, it was almost the same. It's like, and then you're just spitting in their faces. But anyway, Abe, what's your outlook for the M's?
My outlook for the M's is exactly what I predicted. These money grubbing morons won't unleash the purse, and then you have a sycophantic Jerry DePoto who just goes along with it. And you know, nothing has changed in 9 years, and you know that's great if we're winning championships, if we're winning divisions, you know, if we're making the playoffs sometimes. But nothing's changed. Nothing's going to change. Not as long as we the fans keep going to their stupid fireworks nights, bobblehead nights, and you know, dunk the bozo night, whatever promotion they have out there. I mean, I know you're saying, you know, pump the brakes on the sell, but still in my deepest heart of hearts, this ownership group's terrible, and there needs to be a different one, because I doubt that, like the Grinch, that their heart's going to grow 3 times this Christmas. I think they're going to still continue to suck, and, you know, fans are going to, until they rebel, fans are just going to have to sit there and suffer.
Exactly. You know, I canceled my Comcast because I'm like, no.
Too.
And then let's talk about the way they did that too. It's like you got an email at 5 o'clock today saying that if you don't want to upgrade tomorrow, they're out of here. Guess what I said? See you later. I mean, that wasn't cool, dude. They didn't even saves
worse,
coming up or nothing.
Worse than that, Coach, they automatically elevate you to the elite tier. And
yeah.
It's like, I didn't consent to $18 more a month.
Geez, yeah.
You can't just do that.
That too, yeah, exactly, yeah. Okay. Now, Sign, I know that the Reds are your specialty in Major League Baseball because they're your favorite team, but what's your outlook on the M's? Do you have one?
I was very angry with them yesterday. It was very, very disconcerting. I go all the way to the mobile park at T, and I says to the Mariners employee, you there, Mariners employee, I said, I'm here to buy tickets. He looked at me and says, we don't do that type of thing here. I said, you don't sell baseball tickets at the baseball stadium? He's like, no. He's like, you could go to the box office and get them. I said, okay, great, that's around the corner. He said, they're open on game days only.
Oh,
who does
yeah.
that first? It took me all night to get Reds tickets, but I got Reds tickets. Now, the only other person there, it was a mother and a daughter waiting on the doors to open. She said her daughter bought a jersey. It unraveled on the first time she started wearing it. It was coming apart. She complained that the quality was horrible for the price that she paid for the thing. She went in. She wanted to exchange it, but she wanted a discount for her trouble. They didn't want to give her a discount or even really exchange it. They were like, well, you already wore it, so what do you want us to do? Horrible customer service there at the Mariners. Horrible.
My goodness.
Metaphorical for the metaphorical for the team, unraveling, coming apart, fans are unhappy.
Yeah.
And they won't give them
a good. Yep.
There's no tickets. They're trying to get them out of here soon, huh? You know what I mean?
I mean, what doesn't want to sell tickets? And they acted like I was insane for asking.
And then, hey, you know, you and I have done the Mariners and Cincinnati Reds report many times, I got to say, man, I am impressed with where they're at compared to where we're at. On top of that, it was like just 18 months ago, they had one of the worst starts in history. And things were looking really bleak for the Reds. And you're like, man, what's going on with these guys? They're an expansion team. And then just last year, they already almost made the playoffs. And my goodness, I'm really proud of how they've turned things around compared to how the Mariners have been fed bullshit since DePoto got here. Tell us about the Reds.
Well, the Reds are doing really well. That De La Cruz is going to be a big, big, big star. It was very heart-wrenching to see Joey Votto's time come to an end, but the Reds had to make a business decision with that. So did Joey Votto. But, you know, they're in really good shape. And like you said, 2 years ago, nobody would have expected them to be a playoff contender. And here we sit. They're exactly that.
Exactly. And then,
I was going to say there's also one thing that the Reds share in similarity to the Mariners. Their local network, the Bally's local sports network, is melting down about as fast as Root Sports is. Something's going on nationwide where these regional sports networks are the fans are rebelling against them and they're not making any money. So that's interesting to see, not just here in Seattle, but across the nation.
Wow, yeah, and pretty soon they're going to have it all screwed up where every game's on 16 different platforms and you're going to have all of them if you want to watch every game. And
Oh, no.
No. I got satellite radio. I can hear every game.
Yeah.
Okay, and then let's see. You guys also, Abe, you guys also cover the storm in the storm too, right? In the Sounders. Tell us about that.
We did. I don't have much to announce here other than COVID kind of messed up our plans. We were regularly going for about 2 years to cover them. And then like I said, COVID, I think they started playing games in random locations like Everett. And we just haven't been back in sync. But we have been picking up some Kraken games. We've been sending our photographer, John Rainwaters, to Kraken events. So hopefully, you know, now as the score more normalized, we also start going to those as well at the new Climate Pledge Arena.
Right on. What do you got for him next, Sign?
Well, you know, one of the things that is well known in Seattle, they gravitate towards a team from an era, and that's their team from that year, like the 95 Mariners. People still in this region talk about that team, and they gravitate towards the players on that team no matter what. The championship Sonic years and the 96 team that went to the finals, people gravitate towards that. And even though it's 25 years plus since those teams were around, people still love those teams. What do you think it is in Seattle where you don't necessarily see that in other markets, but you see the fans here gravitate towards one specific team from a specific year, and they latch onto that?
In my opinion, because we're not very good in most of our sports, and that's why I personally will talk about the 95 Mariners, about the Sonics. I used to go to the Coliseum all the time with my friends, and great memories there. And I took my son to their final home game here before they moved with Kevin. We had Kevin Durant, and we're a city. Nicely, way to put it. We're a city of losers, and except for the Seahawks winning the Super Bowl, which a lot of fans jump on that bandwagon, you know, that were born in the year 2000, you know, late 90s, early 2000, but there's nothing really to talk about. I mean, it's frustrating as heck. So that's one of my main reasons.
I think I have a different take than the Soul Man does on this. I think there was a preponderance of people somewhere around 2000s, mid 2000s, where the city has exploded into, you know, what it is in current state. So what we take a look at as far as trying to find some sort of some sort of sense of what it was, what Seattle was. You know, so we're talking like grunge era. We're talking, you know, when we were kids. You know, what is it that connects the people from Seattle versus all the, you know, the Californians, quote unquote, that came later? And that would be moments like 96 Sonics, 91 Huskies. The newer age of Seahawks are a lot of people who were Seahawks from way back in 2012, you know, so it's a little bit more difficult to connect with the newer Seahawks fans, at least for me, as I go to a game or watch it on TV. You know, someone who doesn't know who Cortez Kennedy is, doesn't know who Michael Sinclair is, doesn't know who, Eugene Robinson. You know, these are legendary names that are just, you know, thrown. They're discardable because of the new population. And I'm not trying to be that Seattle guy. It's like, yeah, they all need to go back to California where they came from. Now, that's not me. I mean, we're at where we're at. But if I'm looking for relatability, if I'm looking for, my own sense of, like, who is a true Mariners fan, like, do you know who Alvin Davis is? You know, if you don't, then, you know, you're just there to watch fireworks and get bobbleheads and, you know, drink in center field. I mean, you're just you're casual, or you're a new guy. The language of sports for when I talk to the three of you changes when I have to talk to somebody, you know, that came here from, came here from Florida 2 years ago. It's, you know, I have to dumb, I'm not trying to use this term, but I'm going to use it anyway. I have to dumb down the way I speak to a sports fan who's just a Seahawks fan as of 5 years ago or 10 years ago. And sometimes that's just not that interesting to me. Like, I'd rather connect with people on the wavelength that know something about it. And that's my take on it.
Okay, nice. And then, hey, let's go on to somebody who's really looking good out there in the NFL, the Husky, Jake Browning. Man, I've really enjoyed watching him, and I think he's going to go far. And I've already seen he's been compared to Kurt Warner 2.0. What do you guys think?
Let me talk about that real quick, because me being the Wazoo Cougar, Jake Browning, obviously I'm not the biggest Husky fan in the world, but Jake, he's battled. He had amazing college years, and for him to still be around in the league, I was surprised to hear that he was, you know, backup quarterback for Cincinnati, and then he comes in. I watched that Monday night game last week. He just looked like Kurt Warner 2.0, like you said. I haven't heard that term, but I think that's a perfect comparison. And I'm happy for the guy. I wish him all the best. That's my two cents anyway.
Abe?
So it's one game, guys, and I'm the biggest Husky fan there, you know, around. I mean, the game is fantastic. The question would be, was Jacksonville prepared? Did they have a game plan for him? Two, you're looking at the perfect situation, you know, with who's the receiver there? Jamar Chase, is that right? Yeah, Chase, yeah. T. Higgins. You're looking at a situation with a good offensive line. So a great situation to be in. My big knock against Jake Browning, if you compare Jake Browning to Michael Penix, Michael Penix can make a 15-yard to 20-yard out pass to the sideline. Jake Browning cannot. So let's wait and see what other teams do to take, you know, to exploit some of the weaknesses of Jake Browning before we crown him, you know, the savior of the Bengals. I will say this, though, as a Husky, I'm super proud of him, super excited that he's finally getting a chance in the league. But I saw him for 4 years at UW, and I know what his weaknesses are. If some idiot, you know, on a blog, a blog, knows his weaknesses, then obviously some defensive coordinators are going to challenge him. The question is, the kid is super smart. Can he overcome the flaws in his game and accentuate the good in his game?
Okay, and before we get to the Cougar Cam Award and Penix, I want to turn it back over to Sign Guy, because he's got to get going today. Man, this guy's a busy man. He's got wrestling shows and all kinds of stuff he's doing. So, Sina, why don't you give him another
there
question?
There we go. Sorry,
you
my phone's
plug.
Open in and out.
Did you hear what I said, Sign?
Not so much.
Okay, I said we were done with what we were talking about for a second. And I know that you only got so much time because I was telling the people that you got a show to go to and you're a busy man. So you can give him another question and follow up with your plugs.
Sure. This one, not so much a question as much as an invitation, but I would like to see the two of you guys pop up on some local independent wrestling shows and maybe cover those for this Seattle Sports Union. So hopefully in 2024 we can make that work.
I think that's a heck of an idea. What do you think? Yeah, I think that's a great idea. Seriously.
No, I mean – I mean, back when, yeah, the answer is yes, Sign Guy. We're going to do it. I know Coach got to meet our friend Tony. That might be the guy we send in addition to us as well, someone to take photographs of the event. We'd love to. I know Defy, Tony really loves Defy. Where Coach and Sign Guy, where do you guys perform most often?
Signs all over the place. Right now, I haven't been involved with any shows for a little while, but I'll be back there.
Well, we'll invite you so we can do what we did at AEW and have some fun.
Yes, definitely. And then, hey, before we let Sign do his plugs and say goodbye to him, I want to say I got on my notes here, man. I'm really proud of, you know, when the Sonics were here, I got to see him in the Kingdom for the – when they won the championship, that was just off the hook. The way that the loudness of that crowd and the feeling of the Seattle was just amazing. And then growing up in Tacoma and getting to see him at the Tacoma Dome that year was amazing also. So I just want to say that was on my notes. I wanted to mention that. But hey, Sina, tell us what's coming up on Turnbuckle and what you got going on.
Well, tomorrow on Turnbuckle Turmoil, we have Ring Announcer Day. We have ring announcers from across the land coming together to discuss that aspect of the business. On Friday the 15th, we have the Golden Idol, Mark Koval, a great manager on the independent scene, coming to join us. The 17th, we have a world-class championship wrestling reunion slash preview of the movie The Iron Claw. We have James Beard, David Manning, Bill Colville, John Tatum, and Wild Bill Irwin coming to talk about world class. So that's going to be exciting. 22nd, we have Tom Simon, who is a jack of all trades in the wrestling business out of the Arkansas area. 24th, we have Cook's Day, pro wrestlers that have been cooks or chefs coming to the show, sharing some recipes. On the 29th, we have Tom Burke, who is a pro wrestling historian. He's very, very well known within the wrestling circles and at CAC. And we wrap up the year 1-2-3, 1-2-3. It's referee day. Referees from across the country coming to talk about that particular aspect of the business. So that should be a great, great time. And coming up for me, I am on my way here shortly to Vaughan, Washington, at the Key Peninsula Civic Center for Northwest Pro. You can also find me on the 29th in Arlington, Washington, for Combat Pro Wrestling Presents Theatrical Wrestling. And then in January on the 6th, I will be back for Rogue Wrestling Attractions, and that is at the Ocean Shores Civic Center.
Yes, and you just helped me book Rampage Radisson also coming up for my show. Thank you.
Absolutely, yeah. Rampage Radisson coming to the Coach Mike Jones show. I believe that's the first time you have Rampage.
Exactly. And hey, didn't I just hear Chicken Bob over there balking just a minute ago?
Yeah, Chicken Bob's around. Chicken Bob is around for sure. Chicken Bob on the verge, hopefully, if everything goes the way we are being told, he'll have merchandise very, very soon.
Nice. And then how do people get a hold of you on social media?
Well, they can look me up on the Gram, the Twitter slash X, the Book of Faces. You'll find me. Type in Sign Guy. I'll pop up in there. And, of course, you can contact me through the Turnbuckle Turmoil sites as well. Dimitri will pass that along to me. And then Chicken Bob, of course, very active on all the social medias.
Exactly. And then, man, Sign Guy, I want to pump you up a little more. This guy is such an intellectual. He has such a knowledge of TV, television and movies and music. He has a reviews on YouTube of the full entire Star Trek series and then even the second one, right?
Working on the Next Generation, where I'm almost through the second season. Once I get through that, it'll be smooth sailing, I think. But that first and second season of The Next Generation, man, was that rough.
Yeah, it was.
And then you got your Sign of the Times. Tell us your YouTubes.
The YouTube is TheSignGuy77. You can find all the Sign of the Times on there. Hopefully you subscribe. Otherwise, it gives Stompin' Steve a sneezy head, and you don't want a great big giant guy to get a sneezy head.
All right, Sign. Thank you, brother.
Well, Sign,
all right,
Sign
Guy,
I got to say. Sign
Guy,
I got to say.
You in 2024 at a show. If not, maybe if you're free, you can swing by the Key Peninsula Civic Center tonight.
Hey, hold on a second.
I was just going to wish Sign Guy good luck on the Dr. Pulaski season. It's going to be rough.
That's what I'm on now. That's why it's such a slog.
All right.
Thanks Sign Guy.
Sign
appreciate
guy.
You.
Tell Chicken
All right,
Bob
guys,
we love
so
him.
Much.
See ya. All right, Sign Guy, everybody. Okay, now, Soul Man, man, I'm really impressed with Cam Ward over there, too. What a travesty he's leaving the what's going to be the Pac-2 now?
Yeah, Cam's moving on to go make some money somewhere else. It sounds like it's probably, I haven't heard officially, but it sounds like he's transferring to the transfer portal to Ohio State, of all places. I mean, he made a huge impact in his 2 years at Wazoo, and this transfer portal is going to kill us small colleges like Wazoo. And I'm it's frustrating as a fan and a graduate of Wazoo to see this happen to the small schools. As for the Pac-2, it's us and Oregon State left from the Pac-12, but I guess we're paying a bunch of money to play against the Mountain West Conference next year. And moving forward, they're hoping maybe that'll be a new league. They'll combine with us. I agree that these – not 100%. I agree these athletes need to be paid, but it kills a smaller peeps. I mean, UW is going to continue to excel, or hate to say it, but the Oregon Ducks are going to continue to excel. They just got a transfer quarterback today from Oklahoma. It's not right, but it's the way life is now, I guess.
Well, I'm hoping they were like the Pac-8 way back in the day, right? I'm hoping teams like Hawaii and Boise and, you know, San Jose State. I mean, for example, Fresno State, bring them all up here, you know, and hopefully we can beat up on those guys.
That would be nice. I mean, yeah, Boise State, San Diego, all those teams. I hope they can create a league together. And I just see a bunch of programs, you know, closing at the university because we're not going to be able to afford, you know, some of these sports programs. These kids are going to lose their scholarships, et cetera. And it's just not right. But what are you going to do?
Yeah, exactly. And then, Abe. Let's go on to Michael Penix. Man, I'm so impressed with him. He looks like he's going to be so good in the pros. And, my God, he was just off the charts. But one thing I did notice this year that he was off the charts up until that first Oregon game. After that, he was not the same until, like, a couple games ago he started to come back to himself. But one thing that never left him is him being a winner and his confidence. I mean, you can see he's such a winner, and there is a bunch of winners on the Huskies, including their coach. My goodness. What do you got to say about that?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's very important to note that somewhere along the way, he got, I believe against Arizona State, he got the flu. Actually, half the team got the flu. Nobody's ever going to weep for, you know, a team having to overcome that, but that is what the situation that occurred. And that was one of his worst games against Arizona State. And then I think it was – they're keeping their lips tight, but there's a rib injury of some sort that he's been playing through, and that occurred, I want to say, probably around the, Utah game. And so he's overcoming a lot. And, you know, statistically, he's incredibly relevant, you know, top passer in all of the NCAA. But, you know, the more important that you – noted, coach, is that he wins. He comes up big when it matters. The idea, if you think about somebody like, let's say, Joe Montana versus a let's go with Dan Marino, right? So you take a look at the difference between the two. Ultimately, it comes down to Montana had the big moments when it mattered the most. Marino had some big moments, but not when it mattered the most. And that's kind of the ultimate delineation between what Penix is at and where all the other quarterbacks are at. Bo Nix, I would say, from Oregon, is probably all around better than Michael Penix, except for the intangible winning, right? We were talking about Robert Griffin, right, a little bit earlier. Or no, we were talking about that on a different show. And Robert Griffin had all the physical tools. It just never clicked with him. I mean, he ended up being – but he ended up being Heisman and then going to be referred to as RG3 and out because he couldn't translate the game to the, you know, to the next level as, you know, as winning in, as in the NFL. And I don't think we can ever really predict that. So, you know, best we can do is we can go with mechanics and what we see on the field. And what we see on the field is Penix wins, and he's the greatest quarterback in Husky history, Maxwell Award winner. And we'll see about the next level. But I wouldn't mind the Seahawks picking him up. That's for sure.
Goodness,
that would be nice.
Yes, Soulman, that is on my notes here. Bo Nix. I was going to say, my goodness, something is up with this guy. You can see he is amazing. He was amazing all the way through, and I think they might give the Heisman to him tonight.
I like Bo Nix. I think he's a hell of a player, and I rooted for him all season, even though he does play for the Oregon Ducks. I hope Penix does win the Heisman tonight, but I really see Bo Nix or that Jaden Daniels from LSU probably getting the Heisman. There's a lot of East Coast bias in the voting,
yeah,
in my
always.
Opinion. I mean,
always.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I apologize, I can't think of the Huskies' top receiver, but he should have won the Fred Blitnikoff Award last night, and they gave it to Marvin. Thank you, and they gave it to Marvin Harrison Jr.
My God, he looks good, yes. Rome does, definitely. Another winner out there.
I love that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, and then another thing, speaking of intellectuals, Abe, you're going to be leaving us to go get your degree, right?
Well, I'm not leaving. I mean, I'm going down to Miami. Yes, October, I passed my defense for my doctorate. So I will be walking in the ceremony next Thursday in Miami. So I'll be Dr. Abraham. Just like my dad.
Goodness.
That's cool, man. Congrats.
And what type of doctor?
It's doctorate in education. It's focused on online learning, which is what my day job is. It's creating documentation online for specifically. I work at Blue Origin, so that's, you know, rocket ships. So I work with my documentation.
I'm familiar with Blue Origin. Yes, nice.
Yeah,
I got to work there in maintenance for like a year for one of the HVAC companies around here. So that, yes, that was always enjoyable.
Oh, nice.
And it's nice to see that when people talk about time machines, I have to let them know that the real actual time machine is located in Kent, Washington, down at the lobby of Blue Origin.
Yeah, that's at the Vern building, yes. It's pretty cool.
I've sat in that mother. The bad thing about working there, you can't take no pictures.
Oh, that's true.
But it's there, believe me. Yes, exactly. Okay, now this next subject, let's go on to the Sonics. My goodness, man. One thing that looks nice out there, though, you're getting a lot of good feedback with a lot of big stars, even Kevin Durant, Kemp, Lenny Wilkins. There's a long list of people supporting this thing, Gary Payton, John Kemp. What do you guys think about the Sonics coming back? And, I mean, I don't mind them coming back as an expansion.
Yeah, I don't mind either, but when they do come back, because I 100% firmly believe that they will, we talked to the X-Man, Xavier McDaniel, on our podcast like about a year ago this time, and he heard a lot of good things about them coming back. He just wants to be invited back. That's his issue, and we totally support him. But we deserve our stats back. I think it's BS that Oklahoma City has all the Sonics stats, and I don't think that's right. So whatever happens, we better get our...
According to the contractual agreement, if the Sonics come back to Seattle, they do reclaim that history.
Okay, good. Really? I did not know that.
Yeah, contractually, that's written. But why would you even want that? If you're Oklahoma City, why would you even want that history?
Exactly. My God. You want your own. Exactly. And then you notice they haven't used the colors either. It's like, come on now, which was not
exactly,
has been
yeah.
nice.
Yeah, that's
all
been
right,
nice. Initially, did you guys see who the second lowest attendance in the NBA was last year? It's the
no,
Thunder.
I didn't. Oh, really?
Yeah, they're imploding.
But my God, their team's rising, and they got a lot of rising stars, and they've done a lot of right things in the basketball world. I mean, Chet Holmgren is looking amazing, and they've got a lot of rising stars, and they got a lot of number one draft picks coming up. So I'm really impressed with where they're at as a team. Maybe not with ownership, though.
Oh no! See, I'm petty, and I hope they wallow in misery for a very long time. I think you and I are
yeah,
in different places.
No, hey, don't get me wrong. I mean, well, I don't know. I'm not trying to wish ill will on them or nothing. I just don't like it, you know. But I do enjoy
See,
watching
you,
them though. Sometimes
you and Soul Man, you and Soul Man are forgiving, good human beings. I am not. I'm an angry Sonics fan who does not have the capacity to forgive.
Well, I really I need to be forgiven myself, so I know I need to forgive. So anyway,
I don't mean
say?
To interrupt. I'm sorry. Off topic. I apologize. But breaking news: Shohei Ohtani has signed with the Dodgers, 10 years, $700 million.
Oh, that's worse for us.
Yes, it is. At least he's in the National League. But yeah,
I was going to say at least he's in the National League.
Yeah,
man, I've had the displeasure of being invited to a company baseball game that they gave us like 6 games to choose from. Which game do you think I picked? I picked the first possible one, which was probably something like Kansas City or something, you know. But no, everyone picked the Dodgers, okay? We go see the Dodgers,
no.
And this is an uncomfortable situation here. That more than half, probably 55% of the fans are Dodger fans, and they killed us. And it was a horrible experience, I can tell you right now.
I can imagine.
So how do you think it's going to – you think that's going to get better now? I mean, no.
Nope, not at all.
And then, you know, let's go on to that, too, with, you know, this ticket prices and stuff. I just seen that the Huskies were selling tickets for $1,500, and I'm like, why the hell did they – need to sell them for $1,500. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Just a joke.
Except for the Sugar Bowl?
It was the last game.
Except for the Sugar Bowl?
No, the Apple Bowl. The Apple Bowl. The Apple Cup.
Oh, the Apple Cup. Okay.
$1,500. And then they're like, oh, those are hometown people that sell their tickets. Let's go on to that subject because I got something on that.
Well, hang on. I need more information on this one. I do not remember the average ticket price being $1,500.
No,
unless,
I didn't say average. I'm saying any ticket that costs that much, okay? And then, you know, since I was
somebody
on that,
to pay for
you
it,
need you need some more information, okay? Check this out. It also comes down to a situation where you can't blame a hometown fan like the guy next year who's got a season tickets for the Mariners. Why would he want to sit and watch that game? So he can sell his ticket for $500 more than its cost and have a Dodger fan in his seat tormenting the rest of the people, you know, but you can't blame him. The management made him do that.
Yeah, I'll look at it with you holistically on that. I just wanted to make sure you know, that's not just a Husky thing. That's happening everywhere, you know. And it happens
I know.
In Seattle a lot. And
it's horrible.
Yeah, and I agree with you. Look, if you can make a pretty penny and pay for your season tickets, maybe that's the way you got to go.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I know, too. Like I said, you can't really blame the fans. Goodness. And then the way everything costs nowadays, and then, you know, nothing that's turned me off being a promoter. I didn't find out till I was smacked in the face of bringing talent up here, and I go to get him a hotel room, and now all of a sudden it's 3 times more expensive because somehow there's an event in town. There was something going on at the Tacoma Dome, so next thing you know, my hotel's 3 times more. That's not in the budget, okay?
Holy
and,
shit, that's not good. That's not right.
Wow.
You know what I mean? And so the same thing with parking. Look at it. You go there now, no one's there. It's $10 to $20. $120 during the game. That's wrong, man. It shouldn't be able to. You shouldn't be able to do that.
No, it's not. They did that for the All-Star game, too, I remember. Fortunately, we were able to take the train down, but charging $200-$300 just to go see the home run derby parked down the road, but people were paying it. It's bullshit.
Yeah, I know. Oh, goodness. It is, yeah. So, hey,
you didn't even pay for the home run derby, so man.
What was that?
You didn't even pay for the home run derby. You got it for free.
Well, no, because my generous boss gave me and my wife tickets for our anniversary.
Nice. You earned that.
Yeah, thank you.
His wife earned that.
There we go.
So tell us some highlights from the home run derby.
Oh, boy. I would say seeing Julio hit all those home runs, obviously. I mean, the place was just going nuts. I mean, you get that chill making you hope one day we'll be in the playoffs again, which we've already talked about that. But seeing Julio pretty much was a highlight for us and for all the fans. I mean, we were at the third level. We had a great view of the entire field, but just – Julio made the entire day watching him hit, and he almost won it.
Oh, it's so enjoyable watching him. And then
what happened
2 years in a row, and hopefully it doesn't happen this year, where Julio starts out slow as hell for the first 2 months, and people are calling him a bust, and we're losing team, and it's really not looking good. And then by the end, he's a Hall of Famer by the end. You know, and you can't blame him. He's grew up in a hot climate. He might not be good in the cold.
And that's all those bandwagon fans that we're talking about, too. They don't know Jack. You know what? They're the ones that are complaining about him, too. It's ridiculous.
Exactly. Yeah, so, you know, even if it happens this year, I'm confident he'll come around, you know. He is multi-talented. He looks like he could definitely be better than Ken Griffey Jr. as far as I'm concerned.
That's high praise, but I agree so far for sure.
Yeah. You know, I need to put to rest this whole nonsense about, the heavy marine layer in Seattle, it's too cold. You know, when I go to a game in April and I see the Texas Rangers mash 3 home runs, they don't seem to have a problem with it. You know, like, it only seems to be our players that have a problem with it.
Yeah. You might want to check the weather that day, though. It's probably 65 there, and it's 42 here.
Yeah, but, you know, the only thing I'll ever agree with Matt Page on our show is that you need to build your team the way the stadium is allows for it. And we saw in 2000 what type of team you're supposed to build. And DePoto refuses to build that team.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. Oh, my goodness. And then, my goodness, man, getting rid of – now, Teo, I don't know if, you know, he probably would have been worth it, even though he strikes out. You can tell he's a winner, you know, and he's pretty solid. He was consistent all year, even though – yes, he was a disaster on the base running disaster. His fielding isn't great, and he strikes out a ton. But he's a winner.
You said Eugenio? Who were you talking about again, Eugenio?
Teo.
Oh, Teo. Oh, okay.
Just for example, I mean, even Soulman, same thing.
So Soulman's got some strong opinions on this. I'll just say, like, you know, I don't disagree, you know, in a vacuum, any individual guy getting traded. It's just the fact that we got nothing back for any of these guys.
Yes. It's like me back in the day when collecting baseball cards, my God, I would hardly ever trade one because it's like nobody ever offers you a trade worth trading for. You know, I'm not just trading
like
because I want to trade.
That's just like fantasy baseball and football, too. Nobody has a fair trade anymore. It's ridiculous. But Teo is starting to look – not bringing back Teo is starting to look more and more like a big mistake. I mean, now we got 2 holes in the outfield to fill along with other holes in the lineup. I like the guy. I mean, they say, he strikes out often. Well, you know, half our team struck out more than the next place team in the league. I mean, he was still consistent all year, like you said, and he had issues, but who in the Mariners besides Julio didn't have any issues? I mean, come on. I would have kept Teo.
Well, even Julio.
Well, I mean, getting rid of Gino, too, that was excuse me real quick. Getting rid of Gino was like a stab in the heart, too, because it's like – and then, hey, I'm not just talking about Gino. This has been 3 years in a row, getting rid of Graveman the first time, getting rid of Seawald the second time, and now getting rid of Gino. Those are three stabs in the heart, dude, to our team chemistry and our team. They don't give a crap. Well, we already knew that, but
yeah,
please.
Can I get your opinion on that one, Coach? Because Brian and I talk about this all the time. We talk about you trade Kendall Graveman and you trade Seawald in a playoff run.
Yeah,
what team
years
in history has ever traded their closer? Yeah, what team in history has ever traded their closer when they're intending to go to the playoffs?
Exactly.
Like,
and then, hey, I want to go back to that Graveman thing. I was, you know, at the time I had the sports package that had Mad Dog Russo on there, his show. He was on there screaming, you do never trade to your division rival your top closer, let alone get rid of your top closer in the middle of the season. He was screaming. I felt the same way.
And Soulman, you and I had been talking about that, but you had you'd also mentioned like what you get on one of our shows, where you're getting back was insufficient as well.
Oh, terrible returns on there. Terrible returns on all these trades. I mean, I don't know what they're thinking. Obviously, I will say I am going to go on record though. Sad to see Seawald go, but the players that they got, I thought at the time fit what we needed, but I didn't see we were going to, you know, go down the path of where we are right now. So now I miss Seawald, but we're not getting any returns on any of these trades, including the recent Kelenic trade to Atlanta. We got two players that may or may not be good. More than likely, they're going to be, you know, like my other boss says, we traded him for a bag of balls and a pitching rubber.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And we're not spending the money anywhere. And I want to strangle this ownership, but
well,
I guess
geez,
the next,
yeah.
Like I said earlier in the show, though, I think we're going to spend. I'm having hope that we're going to spend money on a key free agent and fill the route there, but we'll see.
Yep. And then you guys both hear that they're throwing out Brian Wu and Miller as trade prospects. My God, I want to keep Miller between those two.
I'm by. Go ahead, Abe. Sorry.
Oh no, I'm like I was just thinking like wasn't the time to do this during the trade deadline? Wouldn't that have been a time to say like, hey, Juan Soto for Bryce Miller straight up, you know, or something like that, and then make a run into the playoffs? Like now it's too late. Like now it's what is that, you know, like buying low, you know, buying low and selling high. I mean, there were teams ready to dump good players at the trade deadline. That's when we should have, you know, maximized our trading efforts.
Exactly. And, you know, another thing I've noticed as a pattern, too, is we wait till the end of the trade. I mean, before the season almost starts, where all that's left is scraps. The last few years, that's what they've been doing. It's like, come on, guys, you could have had 17 different people. And then I've been noticing, too, teams hire guys as just free agents, you know, that for $1 million salaries, that guys are on their way out. Some guys that are really good, they don't even get those guys. They'll get guys that are unproven altogether. And then don't get me wrong about the, oh, my God, last year's pickups with Wong and A.J. Pollock was just horrible.
And Tommy LaStella, too. We paid like $2 million for like 1 month of the season before we cut him. Terrible. Very terrible.
Goodness. Jeez. Anyway, so anything else you guys like to plug or promote or go over?
Just like to quickly state that we redesigned our website, seattlesportsunion.com. That's nice and new. We've got our YouTube channel going, and then I'll let Sylvan talk about the social media.
You can find us. It'll always be Twitter in our eyes. But you can find us at Seattle Sports Union on Twitter. You can find. I hope you guys want to find me as well. I'm at Soulman156. We have a Facebook page going as well. Just search Seattle Sports Union for some great stuff. We need to get on Instagram more. We have an account, but that's something in 2024 I can work on. And but yeah, a lot of stuff coming up.
Yeah, and then also I forgot to mention I'm at Abraham Deweese on X, Twitter X, whatever it's called.
I'm sorry.
Nice.
No, it's fine.
You guys got any concerts or events you're going to be going to?
Me personally, in 2020. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay. Well, I'm going to my graduation next week, so that's an event. but I'll be at the next couple Seahawks games for sure.
Right on.
Yeah, for me, it's just in 2024. Concerts-wise, my wife and I are going to be going to see Metallica next Labor Day weekend. They're playing two shows, no repeat weekend. We're going to see the Foo Fighters 2 weeks before. We're headed to Disneyland and to the Rose Bowl Parade here in a couple weeks. So if you see me down there, recognize me, please give us a shout-out. That's pretty much it. I can't afford and really don't want to go to Mariner games. I'll be at the office box all summer long.
Exactly. Tacoma Rainiers, too. Yes. Nice.
Man, yep.
And then, hey, we sure hope Munoz don't get they don't get rid of Munoz at the trade deadline this year, you know, or next year.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. Yep.
Yeah.
I'm sure they will, though.
Yeah.
Okay, and then your guys' contact info again.
At Seattle Sports, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. You got it.
I was just going to say, you find, like you were saying, we have a new website, seattlesportsunion.com. You can find us on Twitter at Seattle Sports U, and we're also on Facebook as well. Just search us there.
Right on. And
thank
you, guys.
YouTube channel, too.
So and yes,
thank you, Coach.
Yes, I'm enjoying all of them.
We enjoy you
all
as
right,
well.
We do, too.
Thank you guys so much, Abe and Soul Man. Appreciate you guys so much and what you guys do for the community and for the history of sports and for all your guests and everything that you guys represent. I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much.
You as well, man. Happy holidays.
Yep.
Yes.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Yes, we're going to have to get together here pretty soon or in the next month or two and get another green room going.
100%. We're down. Yep.
All right, guys. Hey, there you go. Abe and the Soul
Thanks,
Man,
Coach.
Seattle Sports Union, appreciate it. All right, guys. Yes, we got a schedule coming up here next week, the 16th. I got Sexy Sean Casey from the 5 Most Wanted rescheduled. And at the end of the year, I got Sam Sims. And then on the 13th of January, I got the executive producer of the movie The Wrestler, Evan Ginsberg. And on the 20th of January, I got Rampage Radisson. Yeah, I want to thank all you guys for all your support and input and feedback. We appreciate it. We love you guys so much for everything. And I want to say you guys can check me out at Coach Mike Jones, the coach with the most. Coach Mike Jones on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. Don't forget to check out the Real School Army and the NGW Green Room for hundreds of interviews from celebrities all over the world. And then, of course, the Coach Mike Jones Show podcast every Saturday at noon Pacific. Thank you so much. And here is Joe Love with the Never Were and Coach Mike Jones Show walk-on song. Thank you so much.
That's right, everybody. You know who it is. Coach Mike Jones on the coach with the most. Coming at you hard from coast to coast. I don't want to boast. But now I gotta rank you in my social media posts. You double dose, or diagnose. You feeling tired, life inspired, now you're a ghost. I'll be your host, so won't you raise a toast to the coach with the most, Coach Mike Jones.